Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, as we continue our study of the fourth gospel, we'll begin our reading this morning at verse 15 of John chapter 14. And again, just remind you that the setting here in John 14 is the upper room. It's Thursday evening, the night before Jesus goes to the cross. Within 24 hours of him speaking the words of our text, he will have died on the cross and have been buried in the tomb, and yet he meets with his disciples here in the evening hours of that Thursday to speak to them, to lay the firm foundation of his word, that indeed we might stand upon Christ and upon his word and cast ourselves upon him as our comfort and as our security. And so with that in mind, we give our attention to God's word this morning. John 14, we'll pick up our reading at verse 15 and read through the end of the chapter. And I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this wonderful text together this morning. Dear friends, what you're about to hear is God's own word. May you give your full attention to it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So far the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last Lord's Day, we began making our way through John 14, a chapter that is a favorite for many Christians in large measure because of those first words that Jesus speaks at the beginning of John 14, where he says, Let not your hearts be troubled. Well, Jesus speaks his word here to comfort the troubled hearts of his disciples, and it was with good reason that their hearts were indeed troubled. Judas Iscariot has already left and departed from them, and now Jesus has told them near the end of John 13 that he is going to depart as well. But you see, there's a crucial difference between the departure of Judas and the departure of Jesus. Judas departs to sever their relationship, to break their relationship. He is leaving to betray Jesus. But not so with Jesus. He is leaving not to sever their relationship, but to secure their relationship. He's not leaving to betray his disciples. He's leaving because he will never betray them. fact, as we already seen in John 14, Jesus is departing to secure our eternal home and also to give us an unbreakable fellowship with Him through the gift of prayer. Well, now as we pick up Jesus' words here in John 14, He continues to speak His word to comfort the troubled hearts of the disciples and of course also to comfort our troubled hearts as well. Here He lays a firm foundation for our faith through His word. There are three things in our text this morning that Jesus says for our comfort. Number one, He is praying for us. Number two, He is coming to make His home with us. And number three, He leaves His peace with us. So we want to look at each of those things briefly this morning. We begin with the fact that Jesus prays for us. And notice how our text opens in verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." It's important here that we remember the context of these chapters, John 13 through 18. The context are those words with which chapter 13 began. Jesus loved them to the end. And it's important for us to remember that context, because often we read John 14 verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And we look at our own lives and we say, "Well, I've not kept God's commandments, and so maybe I really don't love Him." And words that Jesus spoke for our comfort, we turn into words that begin to trouble us and cause us no small degree of consternation. We need to understand once again that these words, including verse 15 of our text, are spoken to comfort us. They're spoken in the context of Jesus' love for us. And so I think verse 15 are words that we're to understand not so much as a command, but much more as a promise. The focus here is on what Jesus is doing for us. The focus here is on the life that Jesus will create in us through the ministry of His Spirit. He's speaking here of the life He will produce in us. Jesus will take away our love of sinning. He will take away our heart of stone and give to us a heart of flesh. He will write His law upon our hearts so that we will be not only hearers of His word, but doers of His word as well. This is new covenant language. This is Jeremiah 31 being brought to its fulfillment. What a beautiful and comforting promise this is. This is what Jesus' departure will accomplish through the ministry of His Spirit. His Spirit will produce new life in us. His departure does not sever our relationship, it secures it. As I said, He takes away the love of sinning. He will set our hearts at liberty. He will make us alive by the gospel. He will give us a love for Him and a love for His commandments. He will give us the power to walk in the way of His commandments. And we can see how that works itself out already by one of the commandments He gave earlier in this text. John 14 verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Well, how do we keep that commandment? What do we do in those times when our hearts are troubled? Try harder not to be troubled? Well, that doesn't get us very far. No, what do we do in those times when our hearts are troubled? We preach the gospel to ourselves. The gospel that Jesus has been articulating so beautifully in these chapters. The gospel that proclaims to us that Jesus will never betray us. The gospel that proclaims to us that Jesus will never fail us. The gospel that proclaims to us that Jesus will never leave us. Even in those times when we are tempted to leave Him. Even in those times when we have failed Him. Even in those times when through our sinful actions we betrayed Him, He will never do such things to us. Even when our hearts are breaking. Even when other helpers fail and comforts flee, He is and ever remains the help of the helpless. And we see something of His great help for us in verses 16 and 17 as He speaks about His prayers for us. He says there, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. Understand what Jesus is saying to you here. He is praying for you. He prays to the Father for you. Jesus has your name on His lips in heaven's courts. And the Father responds to Jesus' prayers on your behalf. He responds by giving you another Helper. And the word that Jesus uses here, the word Helper, is in Greek the word Paraclete. It's a word that simply means helper, comforter, intercessor, advisor, and especially here, advocate. It's a legal term. It has legal connotations. It's the defense lawyer. The one who stands up for you in a court of law and pleads your cause, defends you before the judge, makes the case on your behalf. Jesus says He will pray to the Father for us, and the Father will send another advocate. Notice that, another advocate. We already have an advocate, don't we? It's the very same word that John uses in 1 John 2, verse 1. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What a comforting thing to have an advocate when we sin, when we've broken God's law, when we've fallen again into familiar sins, to know that Jesus Christ, the righteous, the law keeper, the obedient one, the one who has never failed, is there before the Father pleading our cause. He's our defense lawyer. And while that's more than enough for us, the Father knows how troubled our hearts can become. And so He gives us not one advocate, but two of them. What a defense team we have. Not only Jesus Christ the righteous, but the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus identifies here as the Spirit of truth, an advocate who will be with us forever, who will never leave us, who will never depart from us, not even in our worst times. And who is this advocate but the Spirit of truth? And that's what we need, isn't it? When our hearts are breaking, when our souls are troubled, when our sins rise up against us, prevailing day by day, when the devil brings his accusations against us, when our own conscience brings its accusations against us, we need to hear truth. We need to have the lies of the devil silenced. We need to have the accusations of our consciences answered. We need gospel truth. We need to know that Jesus is for us. We need to know that the Father is for us. We need to know that the Holy Spirit is working in us, as one author put it, making us new creations, giving us new hearts, growing His fruit within us and changing us from the inside out. What the Spirit does, He produces in us His own life, conforming us to the image of Christ. This is the result of Jesus' prayers for us. And that's why Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. The mighty, powerful prayers of Jesus ascend in heaven on your behalf. And then He gives us a second reason for our hearts not to be troubled. And it's this: He has come to make His home with us. Look at verses 18 and following. Jesus says there, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus promises the disciples that he will not leave them as orphans. Significant language. Orphans in those days had no help. They had no defense, no one to come alongside them and help them. And Jesus says, I won't leave you like that. And he doesn't leave you and me like that. His promise here is that he will come to them, and most likely here is a reference to the resurrection. The world would not see him, but he says, you will see me, and because I live, you too will live. And in that day, you will know that you have been brought into fellowship with the Father. Jesus says, I will produce new life within you. Resurrection life. The life of heaven. Well, Judas, not Iscariot, then asks a question of Jesus. Verse 22, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus continues here to lay that firm foundation for our faith. And he lays that firm foundation for our faith not by directing us away from the gospel and away from his work for us, but by directing us to the gospel as the foundation for his continued work in us by his Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, the Father and Son will come to us and make their home with us. Jesus, think about this, Jesus departs to prepare a place for us in the Father's house, but he also departs to come to us with his Father through the Spirit to make his home with us. You see, dear friends, you are never separated from God. You are with him in heaven, and he is with you on earth. Bound together with covenant bonds, bonds that cannot be broken, ever. The triune God does not cast you out of his presence. In fact, Jesus says he is present with you. You're his home. And so let not your hearts be troubled. And then Jesus gives yet one more reason for our hearts not to be troubled. Not only is he praying for us, not only does he and the Father Spirit come and take up his abode within us, but finally Jesus says he gives us his peace. Look at verses 25 and following. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Again, Jesus is speaking his word, and through that word laying a firm foundation for our faith. Now he says, before he departs, he promises that the Father will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit in his name, to teach us, to bring to remembrance all that he has said to us. The role of the Holy Spirit is not to bring attention to himself, but to put all of our attention upon Jesus. It's the role of the Holy Spirit to be like a great spotlight upon Jesus, fixing our attention always upon him, upon his word, upon his work on our behalf. He is sent by the Father just as Jesus was sent by the Father. He comes in Jesus' name. He teaches us all things as he brings to our remembrance all that Jesus has said. And Jesus gives us a great summary of what he has said there in verse 27 when he says, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. This is peace unlike any peace the world has ever known. Unlike any peace the world could ever give. The best peace that the world can give is a peace that can be broken and often is. Not so with the peace that Jesus gives. R.C. Sproul, commenting on this passage, put it so well when he said, at no point after our redemption is God ever at war with us again. Eternal peace can never be disrupted. This is peace with God. And what is the proof that we are at peace with God? Well, Jesus makes reference to it in verse 28. He's going to the Father. And the Father will accept all of His work on our behalf. And because Jesus' work is accepted by the Father, all who believe in Jesus are accepted by the Father. And so there is peace. Peace with God. And then notice the final words of our text as we begin to bring this to a conclusion. Verse 29, now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Well, here in these words, Jesus is making clear to His disciples and making clear to us His commitment. His commitment to finish the work the Father has given Him to do. Yes, the ruler of this world is coming, but He has no claim on Jesus. None of His accusations against Jesus will stand. In fact, even as Jesus stands on trial this very night, they have to bring in liars to make false accusations against Jesus. There are no accusations against Him that can stand. Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus is the law keeper. Jesus is the obedient one. No claim against Him can stand. He's absolutely committed to the Father. Absolutely committed to you and to your salvation. Judas may betray Him. Peter may deny Him. The disciples may forsake Him. But Jesus will do none of these things. He never betrays us. He never denies us. He never forsakes us. Nothing will deter Him from doing the work that He has come to do. Nothing will deter Him from what is about to transpire this very night. And it's really in that context, I think, we need to understand the final phrase of our chapter, where Jesus says to His disciples, rise, let us go from here. You know, of course, if you're familiar with John's Gospel, that we have three more chapters before they rise and go. And that's led some commentators to say, well, there is corruption here in the text. There are things that are out of order. I don't think that's the right understanding here. We could understand this in a couple of different ways. One way we could understand it is just simply that Jesus speaks about departing, but even as they stand, they continue to talk. How often we do that in our fellowship after church. It's time to go, and then we talk for another half hour. But I think there's even a better understanding here when Jesus says, rise, let us go from here. Sinclair Ferguson points it out where he says that this word rise is a Greek term that was often used of troops who were advancing to meet the enemy. It's a military term. Jesus has just said that the ruler of this world is coming. He's about to do the great battle. And He said, let's meet it head on. He will meet it head on. You see, Jesus, as kind and strong and comforting as He is to us in this passage, is no Jesus meek and mild. He is no reluctant warrior. He will not flee the battle. He is our great, powerful, committed champion. And He's going forth to do battle with the great enemy of our souls. This is what is going on here, dear friends. And so, as we come to the end of John 15, know this. Jesus has not come to make war with you. He's come to make war with your great enemy. He's come not to make war with you, but to save you. He's come to make peace with you. And this peace that he promises here is the very peace that he ministers. What are his first words to the disciples on Resurrection Day as he meets with them there in the upper room? They're gathered together in the evening hours of Resurrection Day. The darkness is falling upon them. They've locked the doors. They're fearful of the Jews. Their hearts are troubled once again. And the risen Christ comes and meets with them. And his first words to them, peace to you. Doesn't condemn them for their sin. Doesn't upbraid them for the way they failed him. The risen Lord of glory comes and ministers peace to them. And so, dear friends, he comes to you today. On this, his day, Resurrection Day, the Lord's Day, to speak to you and to me these words of peace. Yes, there is trouble in the world. And there's trouble in our own lives and in our own hearts. But there's peace in Jesus. And your peace with Jesus, your peace with God is a peace that depends not upon you, not upon your emotions or how you may be feeling about your relationship with God today, not upon your progress in righteousness or in holiness, not upon your keeping of God's law, not upon your love for God. Your peace with God depends upon Him. It depends upon Jesus, Jesus who is so strong and so kind. It's fitting then that John 14 is a favorite for many Christians, and especially those words, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Because you see, what Jesus is doing here in the upper room is laying that firm foundation for his disciples' faith and for your faith and mine. This is his word to you, his promise to you, that the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not forsake to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no never, no never forsake. This is Jesus' promise to you. He will never betray you. Never. Not in this life, not on Judgment Day, not for all eternity. So, dear friends, let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. You belong to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our God, we are so thankful for the compassion and the kindness and the strength of Jesus. We're thankful that He ministers to our troubled souls and our troubled hearts with words of great assurance, words of great promise, words of great peace, words that point us back to His work on our behalf. And we are so thankful that He is committed to our salvation, committed to us far more than we could ever be committed to Him. And we thank You that our peace lies there. And so we thank You for the ministry of that gospel this morning, and we thank You that in the moments before us, we can come to the table of the Lord. We're grateful that You've taken consideration of us in our weakness and have given us this sacrament to strengthen and nourish our faith as we share in Christ and in all of His benefits. So bless us in these things, for we ask it all in Jesus' precious name.